Acme Lithium, a company positioned near the epicenter of lithium production in the United States. Since 1966, Nevada's Clayton Valley has been the primary production source for lithium in all of North America. Acme Lithium holds two promising lithium projects in the Clayton Valley region. Acme Lithium, U.S. trading symbol ACLHF, and in Canada, ACME. Web address, acmelithium.com. That's acmelithium.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor from the surface of the planet Earth. We're going into orbit with Hubble, the amazing, successful NASA robot once upon a time. Bob Zimmerman is here. He keeps the website Behind the Black. He's also the author of the Hubble biography, Universe in a Mirror. Over these last weeks, Bob and I have worried about Hubble because there have been announcements from the Hubble team that it's in the safe mode without adequate explanation. There was speculation of the worst case scenario, the end of Hubble. But, Bob, the rescue of Hubble, what have we learned? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. First, I have to thank your listeners again, because last week I had a quick one-week fundraising campaign to help pay my bills and keep this website going. And, I was once again astonished at the response of people. It always amazes me. You can go to my website and find out about space stuff for free, but people then feel they want to donate and subscribe, and I really appreciate it. So thank you all. Hubble isn't rescued, John. Hubble is maybe... they've put a slight delay on its eventual death here. What's happened is it went into safe mode on October 25th. There was some kind of computer issue that was making it difficult for it to operate properly, sort of protect the instruments and the telescope. It goes into safe mode until they can figure out what went wrong. The engineers have been troubleshooting this problem now for about a week and a half, almost 2 weeks, and they have managed to at least bring the advanced camera for surveys camera instrument back and online doing science. That is Hubble's primary camera at this point, and has been since 2009 when it was installed, a little bit before that. But it's their primary camera, so it provides the best optical images that we look at. And they've got that working again, and they're now going to go step by step through all the other instruments and make sure the software is working properly for each instrument one by one and bring them back to life. Hopefully that we will see everything running fully again within a week. This doesn't mean Hubble is saved. This means we've just simply delayed the inevitable. It has few backups in a number of different areas. When things go wrong in the future, it's going to get harder and harder to fix them. And it's more likely you're going to start to see problems like this. The actual cause of this problem so far, it's not clear what it was, but it seems to be linked to software, but that's not even sure. Either way, they've got one instrument back on, Joe.
We go to the surface of Mars, well, sort of right above the surface of Mars, with the flying toaster, Ingenuity, the hero of the lander rover, Perseverance. But Ingenuity, flight number, what number is this, Bob?
15th flight. This past weekend, Ingenuity completed its 15th flight. It is the second flight it has attempted in the thinner atmosphere that occurs on Mars during different seasons. The season of the atmosphere thickens and thins depending on the season. And they didn't expect to be flying at this time of year when the atmosphere was so thin. So they've had to up the rotation rate of the propellers. They did a test. It worked. So this flight was to begin the journey back to its initial landing spot, what they call field. This is where the helicopter was deposited on the Martian surface by Perseverance. They're basically going to head back in that direction, as is Perseverance. So they did a flight, went up, traveled about, 1,000 feet or so, and then landed safely. And that's just the process of moving back. I had hoped that they would take both the helicopter and the rover across new terrain using the helicopter as a scout, but it appears they're going to take a safer route as they retrace their steps to go forward into J0 crater.
Bob, I'm seeing where the landing site is. Bob's got a great graphic here. And the pathway of Perseverance to where it is now, where is it headed? Is it headed into that zone above it where there's a crater? Is that where it's headed? Up?
All right. One of my earliest stories on November 6th, I provide a map which shows where Perseverance has traveled and the flight paths of Ingenuity. And there's a dotted dash yellow line, which is the planned future route of Perseverance. And so where Perseverance now is, it's got to get back there. And that planned route actually starts at the landing site. So it literally has to retrace its steps.
I
was hoping that we'd take a shortcut across new terrain and see new things. And I will say that the terrain here is remarkably mild. Compared to what Curiosity is traveling through, I'm actually a little surprised they're not taking the shorter route to see new territory. But they've said it, they're going to retrace their steps as originally planned to get back to the landing site, and then from there move on along that dashed line. It'll eventually bring them to the delta that pours into Jezero Crater at a location they've named Three Forks.
Right. Any indication of the wheels? Because that was one of
Perseverance wheels. There's no issues with the wheels on Perseverance, especially at this early date. But on top of that, those wheels have been redesigned from Curiosity, so there's no issues there at all. They'll look at them periodically, but I seriously doubt those wheels are going to go through any kind of wear or tear compared to Curiosity's, especially because it appears the terrain for a long time in Jezero Crater is going to be much milder than it is for Curiosity in Gale Crater.
Another robot to worry about. Lucy just launched the solar panel. Do we have an update, Bob?
Well, according to the Lucy engineering team, they think we'll just backtrack so people understand. Lucy's going to the Trojan asteroids that are in Jupiter orbit to look at about 8 different asteroids. And it has solar panels, and they deployed shortly after launch, but one of them didn't deploy fully. So they're trying to figure out why it did not deploy entirely. They think it's related to a lanyard or strap that pull the solar array out and help it complete its deployment. Somehow that lanyard did not do that job. They have not figured out why or what they're going to do next. Lucy is supposed to, in a few weeks, have some engine burns to send it on its way. Right now it's in near-Earth space. And it's got a schedule. It's got to fire at a certain time. So they're going to have to make some decisions pretty soon about what they're going to do. They will try an additional deployment action in about a week in the hope that they can get the panel to completely deploy, John.
Now for deep physics, 90 gravitational wave detections published. What is a gravitational wave, Bob?
Well, okay, when a black hole, two black holes, or a black hole or a neutron star merge, the cataclysmic nature of that merger actually produces ripples in space-time, just like if you throw a pebble in water. And the ripples, though, are not in water. They are actually in the actual space-time continuum that we live in, that includes gravity. And so what you actually see, they theorized you would actually be able to see the gravitational fields within our solar system and around the Earth fluctuate like ripples going by if there was a big event somewhere else in the universe. And over the last 2 decades, they built a variety of gravitational wave detectors worldwide. And in the last 5 years, they've been successful finally in detecting gravitational waves. So they published a new catalog, which includes 35 detections out of the total of 90 that had never been published before. And most of these are merging black holes on neutron stars. There's some surprises in the catalog. I just want to point out that this is a tiny sample, so to draw any larger conclusions from it is probably a mistake. And there's uncertainty and all the results here. But nonetheless, this is a new science that is growing, John. It's a good thing.
I'm very attracted to a binary black hole, Bob. That sounds spectacular. How would it spin? And who's in charge? A binary black hole. The husband and wife team of the cosmos. Bob, there's one more report from the surface of Mars about the North Pole ice cap. And I want you to clarify, as you did for me just recently, the North Pole and the South Pole of the Moon are very attractive for colonizing. Is that true for Mars?
Absolutely not. It is very difficult for a lot of people to get it out of their heads, the traditional view of Mars as a dry desert. It is not a dry desert. For the last decade, the orbiters have confirmed without doubt that Mars is like Antarctica, a very icy place. It's a desert because it's so cold, because the ice is frozen, but it's got lots of water. There is no reason to go to the poles to establish colonies on Mars because you've got very easy accessible ice known down to 30 degrees latitude, and you might have it even in the equatorial regions as we dig deeper. And you don't want to be at the poles because the environment there is so harsh. It is much milder, though still harsh, as you get closer to the equator. So no, the poles on Mars are not a place to go for colonization. They were, are a place to go if you want to learn about the all long-term climate history of that planet. And that's, of course, why we observe it now.
Bob Zimmerman keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going to space engineering next. Commercial space engineering, money-making. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.